Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922.
Back to pass, looking left. And stretching and reaching for it is Kincaid, and he stumbles into the end zone for the touchdown. A 20-yard touchdown hookup, Allen to Kincaid. Allen going to roll left, looking for someone in the end zone, and now Shovel passes it, complete to Jackson Hawes for his first career touchdown. Hand off to Cook, who goes into the end zone almost untouched for a 2-yard touchdown run. Back to pass, fires, it's intercepted. Picked off by Terrell Bernard, coming the other way and out of bounds at the 40-yard line.
I thought the grit, the mental toughness of our football team was on display.
Still a lot to learn from, a lot to grow, a lot of room for growth in this group. A lot of young guys, but guys are stepping up. There's been some guys down with injuries, and guys are stepping up and making some big-time plays for us, especially on the defensive side of the ball. At the end of the day, we got the win.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Football Friday. Happy Victory Friday. Thursday night game. The Bills win. 31-21 beat the Dolphins. And we are here with you, Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, Owen Parker, and Joe Kelly, all four of us here, on a Friday morning. It is Friday. I'm not going to forget that the whole day. It's going to be a Friday.
And
we have a full weekend off. Tune in on the YouTube stream to see how tired we are. It was not that late of a game, but it was a late game. You know, whatever.
It moved quick. For a late game, I said this to my wife at the first half. It was 2-minute warning of the first half. Like it's 9:25.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Like the first half took an hour, and then the 2 minutes took like another probably 15 minutes.
Right, it was on pace to go pretty quickly. Bills win and moved to 3-0. They now own the NFL's longest home win streak. No team has won more games at home in a row than the Buffalo Bills. And they do it with, you know, some big plays from different people. We'll break it all down with you. 31-21, Bills beat the Dolphins. Next time the Dolphins come to town, I don't know if any one of these apps will let me bet this, but where can I bet close game where the Dolphins take a stupid penalty and the Bills win because of it? Because that's two in a row. Zach Sealer roughing the punter. I mean, man, that's tough. I've said before, Joe, if a team is punting to you, let them. They're giving you've stopped Josh Allen with the ball. Now the Bills feel they must give it to you.
Yeah.
Get out of the way, Zach Sealer. What are you doing? Anyway, hey, no problem there for Bills fans. Just if I'm a Miami fan, I go nuts.
That's a player that Mike McDaniel had called out publicly in the media like earlier in the season. Like that's the when the all the hey they're stepping in it in the press conferences started. I think it was right after week one where he called them out by name. Like hey, we need more from guys. We need more from our cap. We need more from Zach. We need more from Sealer.
Yeah,
he said that, and then that's the guy that kind of loses it for him, right? Like they had it. They didn't have the game, but they had momentum. They were getting the ball with a tie football game in the fourth quarter. I mean, had they had a chance to go up at any point during the game with the ball?
The opening drive, they went up 7-0.
Right, okay. Yeah. So after that, maybe,
but,
a little bit.
Right, in the second drive. But, yeah, the point is, I think that The Dolphins' defense was doing a fine job. What were they doing? Asking the Bills to make 12-play drives, and the Bills would not make them. They were punting a lot. The Bills' offense kind of got a little stuck in the mud, and Miami's making those stops. Now, maybe if the punt gets downed at the two, Miami doesn't go anywhere, and they still lose the game. But, man, just an incredible – it's not quite an own goal. The phrase own goal, you know, kind of jumps to the front of my mind. But anyway, the Bills win. 31-21, and James Cook, another great performance. Like, highlighting the guys that made great plays in this game. Cook, Kincaid, Elijah Moore, Terrell Bernard, Deion Walker
on that last play.
Deion Walker is their best draft pick so far. He really might be Jackson Hawes' honorable
Jackson
mention.
Jackson Hawes might be their best draft pick so far.
It's one of those two. They've got nothing from their first three, in part because of injuries and guys being inactive, but... Yeah, their best picks are the fourth and fifth round, which actually tracks. That's how it normally goes.
And the sixth round pick, if you want to throw Dorian Strong a little bit. I mean, they're the fourth, fifth, sixth guys.
He is fast, Dorian Strong.
Yes,
he is noticeably fast, and he can track down anybody to make a tackle.
All right.
So anyway, our phone number is 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. What do you think? What do you think about the Bills' win there? I predict today might be one of those days where people... call to talk about how the football team played, and other people can't believe that people talk about how they played because they just want – they won. What's the problem? I saw on Twitter last night, instant reaction of the game, a lot of, you people have been spoiled and ruined, as you know, you're talking about how they won or what they looked like. Whatever. It wasn't their best performance. It wasn't some sort of perfect game, although early on it looked like it might be. They're up 14-0. They're doing whatever they want with the ball, throwing to Jackson Hawes, throwing to Tyrell Shavers, whatever they want. And then they just kind of, you know, grind down into what they were.
Well, I mean, how much of that was Miami said, all right, I wondered this yesterday if the league would do this in like a in a more larger scope of, okay, you don't want to throw the ball down the field on us. We're going to move up. We're going to move up, and we're not going to let you do things short, and we're going to dare you to go over the top, and we're going to try to stop your run game. How much of that was what Miami did, and then the Bills couldn't beat them over the top when that's what they were giving them?
I don't know if that's really what happened. I mean, Josh Allen did not attempt to pass beyond 10 yards.
He looked, though. He looked. There were plays where he stunned back there, and he was ready to throw it.
Well, why did he throw it? If they dared him,
no one was open.
Well, sure. If they dared him to throw it, he'd throw it. I mean, I got one play where Dalton Kincaid, I think it's Kincaid, draws three defenders on a clear-out route. So they're taking away the deep route, and the deep route of that play is Kincaid, and they throw it underneath. And, of course, we saw their favorite play, the orbit motion from Khalil Shakir, right? Get a big play, run orbit motion. That works well. I thought their scheme on Thursday night, last night, was pretty good. We saw the best Dalton Kincaid screen we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Execution, thrown to a spot. Maybe it's the look that they got. He didn't score on the play, but I shouldn't say easily could have. He was darn close. The touchdown catch he makes, like that might be the best Kincaid game we have seen.
Yeah.
The best one where you really do see, you know, on the broadcast, who is it? Help me. Herbstreit. Herbstreit says he's got wide receiver skills. I'm brought back to think of him like a wide receiver.
He said that, by the way, after he had a drop.
He
by
did.
The way.
That's right. He did say that right after a drop.
A drop, it might be a little aggressive. The safety's hand was in
that's
there.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, but right. But he almost gets that one as well. I mean, Kincaid was a hair away from 2 to 3 touchdowns in this game, and I think it's by far the best he's ever looked as a pass catcher. You know, the whole think of him like a wide receiver conversation. If that were his normal game, you would think of him like that because he was good after the catch. He was good. The catch he makes on the touchdown
is
great hands. The Miami defender falls down because the Miami defender thinks he's going to get a crack at that ball.
Right.
And here come the big mitts of Kincaid to go shoop right out of the air, steal it from him. Because as the ball's in the air in slow-mo on that play, on the broadcast at least, if you're at the stadium, maybe you didn't see this, it started to look like a hospital ball, as they call it for me.
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh. Kincaid's going to catch this. He's going to get lit up. But instead, the defender looked like they're going for the pick, and Kincaid snags it out of the air and just kind of walks in. So I thought Kincaid looked great. James Cook is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to steal something from your heart here. James Cook is now Max Afinogenoff. He gets the ball, and on a toss sweep, he gets to one guy, two guys, and I'm out of my seat. You can hear it in the stadium. He gets 4 yards downfield, and it builds. Oh, tripped up by the safety.
Right, there were a couple plays yesterday where he was like real
almost
close to
out
breaking
the gate.
It.
Yeah, yeah, like almost out the gate 4 or 5 times. So he's a Finneganoff because that's what it was like watching him, how fast he was. And when he started his own blue line, you know, did he score every time? No. But you knew there was a chance and he was going to go fast. So Cook is amazing. I'm just couldn't be happier about Cook. And whatever, they've got a lot of things going right for them. They didn't play their best game, and they beat the Dolphins, and here we are. It's a bright and early Friday, Football Friday, and you can give us a ring at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550.
Did you watch the Prime Vision Next Gen Stats Cast at all?
A lot of it, yes.
A lot of it?
There's one thing they need to fix.
What's that?
You can't see the ball. When Allen throws,
yeah,
you have to wait for the dot guy that's lit up to have the – you can't really see the ball as clearly as you'd want.
That seems like a major thing that would be hard to not notice, but I can't say that I noticed that.
Yeah, can't see the ball.
You can't see the ball.
Nope.
They did show a couple of times on Cook. There was one stat they put – actually, I think they put this on the main broadcast too. The – stat of that they have like one of the highest yards before contact in the league for Cook, but he also is like near the top of the league in yards after contact.
Yep.
It's like they kind of have both things working right now, right? Is they are giving him holes to run through, and then also he is creating beyond that. Although, again, that did kind of get stifled in the third and fourth quarter, right? Like that's part of why they were punting for the third time in a row.
Yeah.
Part of it was couple of runs that you couldn't really get off the ground. I don't think that's Cook's fault. Just, again, Miami did something coming out of the half that the Bills didn't like offensively.
How many carries for Cook in this game? I'm just pulling up the box score right now.
He ended up with 19 carries for 108 yards.
And Ray Davis and Ty Johnson did what?
Three for Ty Johnson and none for Ray Davis.
How many games in before we talk bell cow? He's getting bell cow numbers.
Yeah, these are high percentages.
19 to 3 and 0?
Yeah.
Ray Davis.
Right.
Did Ray Davis retire?
I saw him on the field a couple times only because Ian Harditz pointed out that he does the same Ashton Gentry standing up.
Yeah.
But did he play 3 plays in this game? I couldn't tell you. He didn't do anything on the field once I saw him.
They are definitely leaning into Cook. Oh, it's only 3 games. But any sort of idea about load management, make sure you protect this player. I mean, I'm now nervous when he goes to the ground. He gets tackled around the ankles. I get nervous. But
he took a hit to the back of the knees yesterday.
Yes,
where
he did.
I thought, like, ooh.
Yes,
but
he did.
He got up. He got up.
Miami is.
He did go to the medical tent.
Miami is Achan 12, Ollie Gordon 9. Like, that's committee.
Yep.
That's a pretty even split. 19 for Cook, 3 for Ty Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is a shift. We thought when he signed that extension, he would not see an uptick in carries. We thought they love the mix they've got right now. They're just going to keep that rolling. And Ty Johnson and Ray Davis are not a part of this offense right now. Not really. I mean, Johnson got a couple of catches, I guess, or a couple of targets. He had one catch for 8 yards. Ray Davis, no catches, no yards, 1 target. So your production at running back outside of Cook, for Ty Johnson, he had 21 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And James Cook ends up with 118.
Yep.
118 for Cook and 21 for Ty Johnson. Like, you have a clear bell cow 3 games in.
The uptick has been real, for sure.
Yeah.
Third downs, I guess, is really the only place he's not playing. Like, they're not rotating him off the field in any other situation. All right, third and long, I should even say. Like, that's it. Like, Ty Johnson, I'm watching a 3rd and 7 from last night where they took Cook off and put Ty Johnson on. But that was not many of those plays. Like, Cook is playing. And they need him right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they...
He's their explosive play.
They need him because they do look like they're searching for it in the pass game. Those explosive plays. I don't think they're wanting Allen to run very much. You're not seeing... Like, last night, man, against Miami especially, how often he scrambles or tries to run linemen over. And last night just was a very protective game around the quarterback. Like, not running a lot, not really standing back in the pocket very often. He threw the ball quick in this game. There were plays where you might have had something developing down the field and, like, balls out to James Cook for 5 yards. Mm. Like, quick dump-offs. It very much was a very intentional offensive game plan to get the ball out quick, run the ball, and not not have Josh Allen take any unnecessary risk at all. It was not a game where you were ever going to see Allen, I think, throw for 350 yards.
No, and I saw a couple people pointing out that it might have been the most unexplosive game in NFL history.
And statistically, you think it was.
Yes, right? There were stats on exactly that, that Tua and Josh combined for the lowest average depth of target between two passers in the next-gen stats era.
Yep, they combined to average, according to next-gen stats, 1.5 air yards per completion.
It's like we watched Navy play.
Right.
Due respect to Navy, they might air it out these days.
Allen only attempted one pass beyond 10 yards. That was the one that Kincaid had almost had in the end zone.
That's technically not correct. He did attempt one to Coleman on the interference. Which makes me wonder if that throw to Coleman will get as many interference calls as it gets catches. Because he's drawing penalties on those downfield throws. He got held the whole way.
Right.
So you can't really judge separation because they get a flag there. They might be more likely to get a flag than they are to get a catch.
Right.
Coleman had a drop. Happens, you know.
Even then, though, it would be two. Right. Like it still wouldn't be out of 29 attempts at that point.
Two.
You'd have two that went beyond 10 yards and a lot of them around the line of scrimmage. I mean, it looks like Tua.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like his game kind of looked like Tua's yesterday, a cleaner version of Tua's, because Tua will make mistakes that Allen did not make.
Yes. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
I mean, the Bills, the clean part of that game. I mean, the key, again, the key is just mistakes.
Yeah,
they don't
make big mistakes.
They don't make big mistakes. That Zach Sealer penalty, like, I don't know that it's fair to say, like, the Bills will never make mistakes like that, but when do you see them make a game-changing mistake like that on a punt? Especially from a captain, a team captain. And then the pick by Tua at the end of the game in a critical spot. You've got your division rival that you cannot beat on the ropes. Like, you've got the ball. You're moving, right? They're moving the ball. Third downs look like nothing for them. And you just get got by Terrell Bernard. It looked like the easiest interception ever, but that's because Bernard read him, right? Yep. The whole way he was two steps ahead of Tua. Allen, I mean, the Bills haven't turned the ball over, I saw last night, in eight games, tying an NFL record. Like, they don't make that mistake. They don't make the mistake at any point during the game, let alone the end of the game. Last interception was against New England last season.
Isn't that a head coach's dream? Is Joe Brady not Sean McDermott's dream come true because eight games in a row without a turnover?
Yeah, it was week 16 against New England, and then you also can throw in the three games before that. So since last year's bye week in week 12, one turnover. I mean... But last night, to me, is a little bit of evidence of this. Look at the passing chart. Look at how they run the ball. Look at the types of throws that they're playing.
Yeah, they don't put it in harm's way.
Didn't Sal say it with us? Like, the only way that Miami could win this game is you get turnovers, right? You get mistakes like that. And the Bills played a game to say, we're not going to give you any opportunity for that.
Yeah, they did give them an opportunity, though.
What, once, twice?
No, just the idea but playing that way means we're not giving you an opportunity. The Dolphins, a 12.5-point underdog, had the ball deep in your territory with a chance to tie the game and maybe go for two.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could say that playing mistake-free doesn't give the other team a chance, but playing an inferior team and playing a bit conservative, or we've used the phrase low event, that is a way that the inferior teams usually want to play. They want to keep the other quarterback off the field. So if you tell them, all right, Bills Dolphins, hey, how many drives would you like Josh Allen to have? 10 or 6? They'll be like, how about 6?
Right.
That's what they want. Now, that's part of the Bills' formula for success. They are so, and they have been with Brady, so efficient that they get by with it. But low event games, running the clock, kind of playing the way they play, that is a way to keep teams closer to you. Maybe you feel like you're more in control and you're less likely to make mistakes in those closer games, but you're definitely keeping teams closer.
To where it takes a mistake at the end of the game like that.
That's
the thing. It's funny because that is why last night is close to me. Like, that's why last night's game is close.
It's because the way they played it.
But, like, I really do believe if they wanted to hammer Miami, who was playing corner for that team last night? And then they got injuries early on in the game. Like, well, I know they don't have world-beating receivers, but I watched Daniel Jones shred that defense like no quarter. He was setting records against that defense in week one.
Miami was down 25 defensive backs.
Right.
Like, they are guys off the street.
So, I think the Bills, like, if they really wanted to, and they didn't, but if they really wanted to, I think they could have shredded that defense last night. But that's how they play. And to their credit, they bet on the other team making more mistakes than them, and they've done it more consistently than any team in NFL history.
Yeah. I don't know if they could just do it if they wanted to.
Why couldn't they? Every other team will.
If they wanted to, they would do it.
I don't.
This is the meme. If he wanted to, he would. If Josh Allen wanted to throw for 350 and dump the Dolphins with a couple of laser beams down the field, he would do that, would he not?
I don't. He didn't attempt any of the passes last night, and I saw the previous two teams do it with lesser offenses, lesser quarterbacks, less even receivers weren't. Kayshon Boutte is not Jamar Chase. Like, I think he could have, but he didn't need to.
He could have tried.
He could have tried.
He could have tried.
And if he tried, he probably would have succeeded. They had nobody back there.
Well, what did it look like? It looked like the first three quarters against Baltimore, where down the field, nobody really gets open. They don't get guys available down the field. Against the Jets, they had a little bit more success, a little bit. But it's definitely a conversation. Like, there's not much of a vertical passing game from this team. And that doesn't mean 40-yard throws. We're talking 12.
Yeah, last night it was just 12.
Last year, there's a throw that goes 12 yards, and that's the only one that goes over 10. So, vertical passing game has not been there. We wondered if Elijah Moore would give them that, if, you know, Keon Coleman could give them that, if Josh Palmer could give them that, and it's just, right now, it's not a part of their offense. Palmer ends up with one catch for 5 yards. Curtis Samuel, a healthy scratch again.
Yeah.
So, you know, but they're...
But here's the thing.
They're winning with tight ends, and they're winning with orbit motion. Hey, they're winning with tight ends. They're winning with screens.
The tight end thing looked, I mean, Jackson Hawes is moving people, right? Like, watching, that was my favorite part of the Prime Vision cast last night.
Was watching him.
Was watching when they were in, 13 personnel, when they have three tight ends, and just how those tight ends are moving. Hawes is moving linemen. Like, he's keeping Bradley Chubb, like, on the outside on run plays. So I love what I'm seeing from that part of it. I think you're just going to see a lot of games like that this year, right? Because I could sit here and say, like, I don't think you could play that way against the best teams in the league and get away with it. But they don't play the best teams in the league. So guess what? They could play like that all season
long,
and they're probably going to win almost every game doing it.
That's right. That's one of my big points I'll make probably every time they win a game like this. If they win the Saints game the same way, or the Patriots, or the Falcons.
Right.
It's like, if you're looking for them to convince you that they can beat Baltimore in the playoffs, they can't do that until they play Baltimore in the playoffs. If you're looking for them to convince you that they can defensively shut down a team and win a playoff game only giving up 10 points, they can't actually convince you of that until the playoffs. So, we constantly live in this spot where you want to watch them, have fun, have a great time, let's all party, but also, are you showing me that it's different this time around? And that's just really hard to prove in September. Because ultimately, if...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If they do, it doesn't really matter until you get to January. Mm-hmm. Mike in Connecticut before the break here on Football Friday. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well today.
Doing great. Victory Friday, you know?
Absolutely. I have two things for you, one on each side of the ball. First one, a little bit quicker. I just feel like we haven't heard Greg Russo's name at all this year. I was at the game last week, so obviously you see it a little bit different than you're watching on TV, but also, I don't know, I just pay him the big money, and he looked like he was continuing to ascend, but just haven't really seen that yet. Trey White's not his best game, but hopefully Max is getting healthy. And the last thing I'll say is never going to ever complain about a win. I think we're doing a great job not turning the ball over, but it just seems like our offense sometimes is so conservative. Like, we have a one-score or a two-score lead, and it's just like we're so prone to just run first and second down and just, you know, obviously you don't want to see Allen turn the ball over, but it's almost like it's so bland. But I'm not going to complain because, obviously, we're winning football games. But just one thing about the offense, too, is the maturation of Allen to me is tremendous. I was talking with my dad last night watching the game, and I'm like, you remember years ago, we used to be like, we used to go crazy. What is he doing? Putting the ball in harm's way and lateraling and just throwing crazy passes. And, like, I would have to say he takes care of the ball. I don't have stats or anything, but
sure.
He's got to take care of the ball better than 85-90% of the quarterbacks in the league right now, and it's great to see that development.
This is where I want to say, Mike,
I think it's 100, by the way.
Mike, don't we miss it a little bit? Can we say we miss it a little bit?
What's that?
You know, the lateral and doing crazy stuff. Like, come on, you know?
I miss it just because it's like the thrill. Like, now it's, you know, run up the middle, pitch. It's like, I want to see Josh air it out a little bit.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike, for the phone call.
The flip touchdown to Hawes is kind of this.
Yeah, and it's also,
like, that was a play that.
I also think it's a no-look flip.
Yeah,
he's not
right,
really looking
right
at it. And this is a very small thing. I almost tweeted it out, but I didn't want to do it. Watch that play again. And Jackson Hawes, I think he's not quite expecting that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He also said that's the first time they ran the play full speed, that play. Hmm. You put in plays during the week, and hey, now it's a Thursday. You don't have as much time. First time they run the pass full speed. When Allen kind of like shovel passes that to Hawes, he catches it in the form of when you're knocking a Frisbee into a can jam bucket. He like bats it down into his body because he's standing like this. Kind of funny. I appreciated it. Now, I don't know if it's textbook tight end hands, but whatever. Like, he's been very good for them.
I mean, he was in the wrong place originally, right? And they must have loved the look enough where they called timeout and then came right out and ran the same thing, and it worked. He also slipped on the play and it still worked. So they were gonna run it. He wasn't in the right spot, and they're like, we gotta call timeout here because we know this play is gonna work. That's how it looked.
Right.
And then he slipped on the play and it still worked. So, yeah, that was a great play call. And Allen drawing that corner in was definitely necessary to get it.
803-0550, our phone number. Bills win. There's going to be concern about the defense. You mentioning Rousseau, you're not the first to do it. If I wanted to bring up a Pro Football Focus grade, should I do that? They grade him pretty well among defensive ends.
Okay.
But not for pass rush, more for run defense. And he gets a good grade for coverage.
How are they grading Tre'Davious White after that game?
I'll take a look at it. Tre'Davious White, listen, I think Terrell Bernard was starting to get in the crosshairs until he makes that big play.
Yep.
Like, you signed Bernard, you signed Rousseau, you know, where's this defense coming together? Whatever. They're missing some pieces. We know that. 803-0550. It is Victory Friday. Khalil Shakir returns to the end zone. Good to see him there. And off we go. The Bills win. The Dolphins lose. They're 0-3. They probably had the kind of performance that does not get a coach fired.
Yeah.
We'll see when that happens. Jeremy and Joe, it's Football Friday. You can give us a ring. Please do. Love to have your thoughts on this. It's okay to evaluate the team after wins. We're not going to yell at anybody for getting too upset. Either way. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922.
Going to roll left, looking for someone in the end zone, and now Shovel passes it complete to Jackson Hawes for his first career touchdown from 5 yards out. Josh Allen looking like Magic Johnson on the fast break.
Highlights of the game. One of the highlights of the game, the Jackson Hawes touchdown pass, are brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Jackson Hawes touchdown. Our fantastic four-way parlay.
Oh.
I just want to say that everybody else lose their leg, and I didn't win my leg because I had the Jackson Hawes last touchdown.
Right.
But I'm taking a victory lap because Jackson Hawes touchdown, jackpot, baby. The number of people that listen to us place our fantastic four-way parlay and point out, hey, listen, Hawes is on the field a lot, and he gets at least one throw every game, and this value on a Jackson Hawes touchdown is too good. A lot of people won on a Jackson Hawes anytime touchdown, and I'm just saying I have not received any tips. Hey,
because technically they had to do something different than what you said.
You win your fantasy league. I'm told sometimes people tip the commissioner. Sometimes you tip your dealer at the table. Come on.
Yeah, what you did is
I'm a soothsayer. I'm a seer of the future.
That's not like fantasy advice, though. That's like you saying, I think the Bills are going to run the ball a lot today, and you should play James Cook, and then Ray Davis goes for 200 yards.
It's like saying Ray Davis is going to go for 200 yards, and Ray Davis goes for 170.
No, it's not. No, because you get
the third tight end, and he caught a touchdown.
Because if you did exactly what you said, you would have ended up with zero.
Also worth pointing out, if the Dolphins had scored there and Terrell Bernard does not make that interception, I think they're going back to Hawes. You know?
With a tie game.
Go to the hot hand. Go back to Hawes.
Yeah. He is on the field a ton.
Yes, he is.
He's on the field a lot. And I did also hear from a lot of people, some that just made the anytime bet, but also because, like, I couldn't find the last touchdown prop.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't going to go search it for, or they did by mistake. So we did have people that would have bet Hawes anytime touchdown.
803-0550. You're talking about the Bills win over the Dolphins, 31-21. It is a victory Friday. Jeremy and Joe, hopefully you went to the game. If you went to the game, you hopefully had a good time. It was a beautiful night. The Amazon broadcast there. A lot of Ryan Fitzpatrick all over the place.
Yep.
He came up in the booth with Al and Kirk Herbstreit.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a lot of the Amazon Prime, the Prime Vision cast, which showed some cool stuff, including, which this was a bit odd, they came on and said, remember they're going to do the end of the game stuff? They have the guy, I forget his name, he comes on and says, hey guys. Yeah. And he gives you some advance. They said, in this scenario, the best case the Dolphins have is to get the ball back with 16 seconds left. He kind of did the math of, here was how much time is left in the game. Mm. If you're ever watching football in the last 50 years, you probably do that math in your head, like minus 40,
yeah,
minus
right.
40. Minus. They came on and they did that as part of, Also, the Prime Vision broadcast identifies blitzers, and I don't know that I've ever seen it be wrong as consistently as it was with the Bills. The Bills mixing their coverage, the Bills showing at the line and then backing out, and also the Bills blitzing an awful lot. They were blitz happy in this game, and they have been for the year. Against quarterbacks, I think they can get away with it. 803-0550. Greg in Staten Island. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Let's start off with always good Friday, especially if the Bills win. I just want to talk about this D-line. At what point do we start questioning the rotation that McDermott loves? I mean, these guys, I feel like they don't get into a rhythm. I mean, Greg Rousseau is absent, Espinosa absent, Solomon absent. We're getting no pressure. I mean, the one bright spot last night I felt was Walker. He flashed a few times, especially on the play with the interception. You know, he's right into his face. But the rest of these guys on the line is like zero performance, any besides Bosa. But, I mean, at what point do we say these guys can't even get into a rhythm? They're on the field one or two plays, and now they're off. I mean, McDermott, for years, that's been McDermott's, you know, bread and butter is rotating these guys. And then it leads to the cornerback. I mean, Trey White had a rough game. But if he's so big into the rotation, I mean, why aren't we putting Strong in and let him give a shot against covering Waddle? It's just like just leave him out there to get shredded. And, you know, you're big on the rotation and keeping guys healthy. Give Strong a shot.
It's more than keeping guys healthy. It's keeping guys, rested and having more energy to do their job. I don't know, Greg. I've never thought the rotation is part of the reason that they're failing. If they're not getting to the quarterback, I don't think it's the rotation. Personally, I don't think it's the rotation. Maybe you do, Joe. Maybe you guys do out there. I think it's that they don't have the horses. And Bosa is supposed to bring some of that. And Michael Hoyt's supposed to add to that. And they've got some younger players. And, I mean, Rousseau, we'll see about Rousseau. He just got paid. And what is he? He's a guy that has 8 sacks a year.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been a game wrecker defensive end. He's a piece of the defense that occasionally makes big plays and, you know, can work well in the run game and has picked off Patrick Mahomes, you know, in a nice play.
Yeah.
4 years ago.
It's not even 8, by the way. His average over 4 seasons is 6.
Right.
And he's never missed a game. Right. So he missed a couple in the second year.
So with Rousseau, I want to keep your expectations where they should be. Do you expect him to just sign a deal and jump to double-digit sacks? Like, if he's going to get 8 sacks in a year, there are 14 games remaining to do it.
Yeah. He's been a little bit invisible, but right, like, is there run play stuff that he's helping a lot on? Are there other plays where he's making an impact, where he's just not getting to the quarterback? I mean, Bosa's noticeable.
Yes.
Bosa is noticeable a lot. But yeah, like, last night, I was a little surprised they didn't get... I guess my surprise from last night is on both sides of the ball. It's the two weakest position groups that Miami have.
Line.
Their offensive line and their secondary.
And the Bills were not able to really exploit either one.
Didn't really feel like that. They won the game anyway, but it didn't feel like that on that front. I mean, that could just be, though, Tua was getting rid of the ball so quickly, right? Passes behind the line of scrimmage. He's averaging 1 yard for air yards for an attempt. And he does that a lot. So that could have been it, too. Like, he's getting rid of the ball so quick, you can't get there. I am noticing them use Bosa a lot, though. So I don't think the rotation's a problem.
Aren't they using Bosa because he's doing well?
Well, he's doing well, and who's behind him?
Right.
At one point, on a 3rd and 7, the Bills are getting torched on 3rd downs, why is Javon Solomon in the game? But then I thought, like, well, he's the next guy in, isn't he?
Yeah.
Your third-round rookie's not on, doesn't have a game day.
Your third-round rookie is not active.
And Hoyt's not available, so, like, you're at Javon Solomon. So I guess if you want a different rotation, that's the guy you'd be wanting. And, I don't know, he's a 5th-round pick from last year. I think I'm good with Bosa and Rousseau playing the way they do. Or as much as they do.
It's interesting. I feel like it comes down to your priors when it comes to the defensive line. In the chat, someone wrote in, like, keep making excuses for McDermott. Like, okay. I mean, is the belief here that if he just played Rousseau more, then Rousseau would have more sacks? That I guess in theory that would be right.
Over his career it would. Yeah, but he played a lot last year. Like, that went up. And he got 8.
8.
Right? Like, he's not going to get 15.
No.
But it went up a little
bit. And if the Bills had if the Bills had T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett, they would not sub him off the field. He'd play all the time.
That's right.
He'd play an awful lot. And I don't know. I've never thought the rotation is the thing that keeps the defensive line from getting double-digit sacks. It might be a factor, but if they have somebody that works, that guy plays.
Yeah, my problem with the defense today wouldn't be about really the line. It would be questions about the secondary. And specifically the number 2 corner spot, because Waddle abused Trey White on 3rd downs yesterday. Like, and maybe they put him in a tough spot, isoing him up. There was a 3rd and short where the Bills came with pressure, and Waddle ran like just a mesh, you know, like short cross the field route. And I mean, that's an impossible route to cover as a corner, but Trey White wasn't anywhere near him.
Sure.
Like, it was the easiest pitch and catch ever. That's what I tweeted out last night. Like, that's a play where you could use Max Hairston.
You would hope.
Because that's the guy that might give you a fighting chance on a play like that versus easy catch.
He might. Before he got hurt, he was not winning the job.
No, I know. But that play, Trey White will never win that play.
So here's
Max Hairston might.
Ryan Talbot had a good note on this last night during the game. Ryan Talbot of the Shout Buffalo Football Podcast in New York Upstate. Someone kind of took exception to the idea that Waddle was killing the Bills because he had 5 catches for 39 yards.
But they were all on 3rd downs, weren't they?
Here's the rundown. A 3-yard touchdown, a loss of 3 on reception number 2. Then the next 3 receptions were 15 yards on 4th and 4, 11 yards on 3rd and 8, and 13 yards on 3rd and 4.
Right.
So you have 3 3rd and 4th down conversions and a touchdown.
He was keeping drives alive, and then he finished a drive.
Right. So while you might say, like, oh, come on, 5 for 39, how bad was it? Everyone, 4 of the 5 were really important plays. And if you want to make a point about Tre'Davious White and his readiness, ability to be a part of this defense regularly, there's a divisional opponent looking at him and saying, reception doesn't say down in distance where it's a -3, but 4 times they thought important play, throw it there. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Waddle is also good. He's really good.
He is very good.
He's very good. Hey, Tyreek Hill got off a little bit in this game as well. 5 for 49 and a touchdown. He had 10 targets.
Yeah. That wasn't, though, as much as he's good as it was just speed on those plays.
Yep.
Like, any speed receiver, I think, in those spots is going – like, Trey White did not look – when he's following him across the field, sorry, just he looks like a 30-year-old corner that's had two major injuries.
Also, one of Hill's catches should not have counted. The Bills did not challenge it, and the Sky Judge did not come back in time, and the Dolphins scored on that drive.
That's a play I think Sky Judge is supposed to get.
Yeah, he didn't get it. He did not have control of the ball when he went out of bounds.
Right.
He didn't have it. 803-0550, it's Victory Friday. Jeremy and Joe, jump in. Give us a call. Pop on the YouTube stream. We're taking your calls. We're taking your comments via the chat. Tweet at us as well. Send us tips for the Jackson Hawes touchdown. You don't have to do that. It's fine. 803-0550 on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Too many third down conversions where he was extending the play more than I would have liked to have seen, and so we got to look at that a little bit more, and same with the red zone.
Sean McDermott, Joe just found something, which we probably would have gotten to on snap counts, to the previous caller about, hey, it's the rotation. Mm-hmm. The defensive linemen are never able to get into a rhythm. Well,
they did last night. Sal just tweeted out the offensive and defensive snap counts, and Joey Bosa last night played 87% of the snaps, which is, for a Sean McDermott defense, extremely high for that position.
Yeah.
And Greg Rousseau played 66%. So those two played a lot. Like, the guys that would come in and replace them, Epinesa 34%, Solomon 15%. So was largely Bosa and Rousseau on the field at all times.
By comparison, against the Jets, Bosa had 55% and Rousseau 53%.
That's closer to what they normally do.
Yeah, so they both played a lot more. And Bosa appears to still be like their best chance to get to the quarterback.
Meanwhile, while looking at snap counts, it is fun. Like, the Bills, all three tight ends play, and they play. I mean, Kincaid, you might not think plays a lot. I'm sure at some point, like, the fantasy community will go, it's a great game from Dalton Kincaid. I wonder how much better it could be if he was on the field for half of their offensive snaps. Because it's Kincaid 55%, Knox 53%, Hawes 43%. Like, the Kincaid part is separate. Like, they use all three tight ends, and Hawes is on the field a ton. I think when you asked earlier, like, who's the most impactful rookie so far, I think it's Jackson Hawes.
Could be. I mean, Walker gives them something they don't have. Right. Hawes just kind of adds to a tight end room that they like and has stuff already going on.
Yep.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Sal on the other side, and your phone calls as well. We'll get your phone calls in. Chris, Rob, Louie, John, Mo, stick with us. We'll roll through calls with Sal. He's got arrow up, arrow down. His view of Miami's likely final visit to Highmark Stadium. 0-3 now. I feel like it's not likely to make the playoffs, so they're not coming back to Highmark. So the Bills close it out in style with a 31-21 win. Matt Prater missed a kick.
It also was like the worst missed kick I've ever seen in my entire life. I made a noise when they're like, oh, what was that?
It was like a shank?
That was like a drive off the tee. Where
a hosel
like,
rocket.
It doesn't even hit the face of your club. Like, you somehow hit it with the shaft of your club.
Never had that happen before, Joe. Don't know what you're talking about. Never had something like that before. Nope. Don't know. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. Your phone calls and Sal as we return here on a Buffalo Bills Football Friday on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.